So I am going to tell this story, and I'm going to start referring to my children in code names because I need to use their names to tell a lot of my stories. So I'm going to call my daughter Jenny.
I have so many guesses as to what your son's name is going to be. I'm going to bet it's Ron.
Fred.
Fred?
George.
That's if they were twins. They're not twins.
Percy.
Yeah, but nobody likes Percy. You can't do that to your kids.
It might be a Bill. I don't know.
It has to be Ron. Who's, can we just also remark that you're picking Ron and Ginny?
Goofy.
And that your son is a ginger.
Yes, I know. There's a purpose behind me going with this.
Hey, it's been a long day. I'm a little slow.
Okay, well, I don't have out my son's name yet, so I'll have to ruminate. That I knew it was a word somewhere in there. So I never expected that my husband would say, Jenny, stop watching football and eat your breakfast. My 10-year-old daughter never cared about sports before.
No.
But this
and
week,
we're not talking about the Super Bowl either.
This is the Super Bowl.
Breakfast?
Well, because they had to go to bed and so it was recorded and they wanted to finish the game.
Ew.
So they were watching the rest of the game.
I was so confused.
Yes. But
okay.
Still, my daughter wouldn't stop watching football to go eat her pancakes.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. 10-year-old girl. Never cared about football in her life, but guess why she did.
Oh, please don't let it be why 1,001 other girls started to care about the football team games this year.
Of course it is.
Is she a Swiftie?
Apparently. Although, you know what? I have to appreciate it for the fact that it got my daughter to watch an entire football game.
There you go. I asked my daughter if she wanted to watch the Super Bowl. She's like, yeah, no, that sounds boring. I'm like,
she's
<You're>
smart.
Not wrong. Guess what? I, too, did not want to watch the football game. Well, however, I did make Super Bowl snacks.
Well, I mean, why not?
I made food, but then we watched Pokemon. So
neither my husband or I care that much about football. However, we were a house divided. There was yelling. My son, Ron, wanted the 49ers to win, and my daughter wanted the Chiefs to win because Taylor's boyfriend.
Which, by the way, is now the inspiration for one of my favorite memes I found this week.
Uh-oh. His angry face one? You'll have to send it to me.
Oh, I will. So can we just talk about how amazing it is that I had a wheezing fit after you named both your kids after Weasleys?
That is so real.
Oh my God. Dumbass.
Dish Soap will be so proud of me.
Oh, I'll even tell her you used it correctly twice in context.
Excellent.
Welcome to Bad Teacher Tales, real talk stories and advice for teachers and those who love them. Where each week we share the good, the bad, and the what the hell of daily teacher life. We'll expose workplace woes that range from unrealistic to impossibly asinine. We'll postulate on parental problems and admin antics. We might even learn a helpful tip or trick. And while we may be bad teachers, we will always leave remembering our why. Those beautiful, bright, baffling students. With your hosts, Scara and Sly. The opinions read in this episode do not necessarily reflect those of the hosts or Bad Teacher Tales. Some language and situations may be unsuitable for children. Ironic, I know. Listener discretion is advised.
This week's story is from a middle school teacher and coach.
Ooh, yay, this is new.
And this is titled, From the Law Offices of...
J.G. Wentworth. Still not
a law office.
But it's all I can think of.
And so this is from a male coach and social studies teacher. So he says, this day, like any other, began the same way when I arrived at work. I make myself a cup of coffee and sit at my desk and catch up on my emails. He makes that sound really pleasant. Or is it just the way I read it?
He makes it sound like we're not busy.
I just
don't like
relax
this intro.
At my desk with my cup of coffee.
I take a deep breath and then I just at all the stuff that needs to be done.
What was that? This particular day, I had gotten an email from blank and blank associates. He wrote blank and blank because I'm guessing he didn't want to say.
Yeah. Also good. Let's not rep one law office because then we have to represent them all.
Now it is.
It's called the Law Office of J.G. Wentworth.
This particular day, I had gotten an email from J.G. Wentworth and Associates.
I love this.
That's what I'm going to use.
I love it.
Am I going to get in trouble for this? Are they going to like sue me somehow for just, I don't, who knows?
No, but I mean like, as long as we're very clear, disclaimer, J.G. Wentworth is not a law office. It is just.
It is a Houston-based something that jingle.
Oh, it's not a Houston-based anything.
It's not?
No, because I grew up with that in Ohio. Like that is a song that lives in my very core that I have stood up and sang at the top of my lungs since I was a small child. Yep.
Okay.
Nope. We all know that phone number. We don't have anybody else's phone number memorized, but we all know that one.
All right. So I'm using J.G. Wentworth.
Yep. Not a law office.
Now, it is not unusual to get emails from law offices, colleges, consultants asking to fill out random surveys. Not sure why the district hasn't blocked these. But when I opened this email, it was as long as a novel, and it told an interesting story, starring yours truly.
Oh, this is not good.
As the story goes, a lawsuit is being brought against me, three other coaches, our admin, and the school district, and one particular student whose father happened to be a former star of the NFL. This story takes place at an after-school football practice where, apparently, this student whose family is suing me says their son was jumped in front of me and the other coaches while we sat there and watched it happen. The student ended up with a broken finger and spent the night in ER. There's some thoughts. Okay, so,
yep.
So we're going to start here. And I think we've discussed this before. Even if this child had jumped the one in question and hurt him, if you as a teacher are not specifically trained to break up a fight and you get hurt, you're paying your own medical bills.
Yep.
And you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you don't, then you get BS like this saying, well, you didn't jump in the fight and save my kid. But if you do, and then you get punched and get a concussion and bleed out, it is your fault because you are not allowed to get in the middle of a fight.
You love how we're not allowed to get in the middle of a fight and break it up, but we are allowed to put ourselves between an active shooter and their child.
Well, I mean, that's teaching.
I'm sorry, in case you didn't hear that, let me roll my eyes a little louder.
I don't want to go down that tangent.
Yeah, no, I'm just
but
thought that was an interesting
yeah
little thing there.
Now, my name is mentioned in this story 4 times more than any of the other coaches that are also being sued because the same student says that he approached me before the incident happened to complain about being bullied on the field. And I said to him, and I quote, "Get back in line." As well as after he was jumped by the same boys who were bullying him, he complained about his finger hurting, and I neglected him. After reading this extremely long email, which explained this day in even the tiniest of details, I immediately contacted our campus union rep and explained the situation, and then proceeded to the front office to meet with an admin. When asked about the day by the admin, I told the truth. I really was having a hard time remembering this day in particular and how this happened, but I am the main person the parent is complaining about in the lawsuit. So a few days pass and I'm literally biting my nails to the skin because I cannot for the life of me remember this day, and I just know that I'm about to lose my job. Oh, we've been here before, haven't we?
Yes, we have. It's crazy because like I can empathize with him, like, where the student brings up this serious issue and I'm like, it's been 3 weeks and you're just now bringing this up and I don't remember this. Like, it's clearly we're having what was a huge deal for you. It's just another Tuesday.
And if I don't remember it, it's probably not as dramatic as you think it was.
Or you're making it out to be.
Right. I was eventually called down to meet with the other coaches as well as my grade level principal upon hearing back from the district. I enter the office and am immediately told that my name is being removed from the lawsuit. I ask why. Well, apparently, the incident took place during our athletic period, which is during the school day and happened to be at a time that I'm teaching my core subject.
That is going to put a big question mark over this whole story then. Because you indicted this teacher 4 times more than any other coach. And then you have to retract his name out when he was the main teacher that you... Oh boy, this is not looking good for whoever reported this.
It's funny you say that. He goes on... Because I'm teaching my core subject, and the so-called incident supposedly took place in front of another coach. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm pretty sure a law office would be in trouble if they tried to sue someone, and not only they didn't have the facts straight, but before researching and sending out such a sloppy explanation of events, which leads me to my final piece. The emails continued to come to the school, but we're coming from the law office of J.G. Wentworth Associates at gmail.com. Now, if you know anything about Gmail, a regular Joe can create this account. So I guess it was so many people that were emailed on this list that none of us thought to actually click on the original sender to see that it was sent from a Gmail account until, after all, the blood pressure went sky high.
Oh.
I mean, what a sigh of release. What a sigh. Goodness. Words are hard.
Very. The pedal isn't pedaling.
Well, dang it. Now I have to leave that in just for that. Well, this must have been a sigh of relief. But also, I did not need to go through all of this stress for the last however many days for nothing.
True. And then the anxiety of sitting here reading it, like, what is going to happen?
You know what this reminds me of? So I've been privy to more than one occasion where a child of female origin decides that they don't like or are mad at a male teacher and just say that that teacher has touched them. Yeah. And just to get the teacher in trouble.
These kids have such main character energy that they're like, oh, you know, my choices only affect me and it doesn't affect anybody else. If you accuse a teacher of that, that investigation stays.
You are ruining their life.
God forbid something happen and that teacher actually get fired over the incident, even if they didn't do anything.
Well, and so I will say that I was involved in one of these investigations. And so I will say that based on the process and how it was handled, I actually have faith in the district's ability to protect the teacher as much as possible until the investigation is complete. So what that means for me is that at this point, when it comes out that a teacher has done something, oh, they have proof. The problem, though, that comes with it is social media and the spreading of false information before that investigation can be completed.
But, like, so on the other side of that, and like, I get that usually they're not going to act without having evidence, but I actually do know someone who has been wrongly accused.
Oh no, I'm saying I've definitely wrongly.
No, they got fired over it.
Okay. So I just haven't seen that. Why, how they must have been something substantiating.
That student had premeditated this, and it did not come out until well after that teacher had been fired. Their license revoked. Like, they had planned for like a month beforehand. They're like, okay, so this event's going to be happening and this is where it's going to be and this is when people are going to show up. And like, they were mad because I can't remember what it was over or even what class it was in, but they're like, I'm going to show up early, so I'm going to be the first one there, and then everybody else is going to show up like 10 minutes later, and then we're going to say this happened. And it got to where her and her very large group of friends all went with very similar stories to the where they could be corroborated. And, you know, if you all said the exact same thing, okay, that's shady. But they were all so similar with just different wordings. He got accused of it and he got fired. And it did not come out until a year after that happened to where a teacher happened to overhear that group of girls talking about it. Hey, do you remember that one time that we set this teacher up and we made up that lie? And the teacher overheard that.
Lovely.
But a year later, his license has been revoked.
Yeah.
He is already, and like, that's the thing these kids don't think about. You didn't just get him fired.
Yep.
He can no longer work at a school.
Yeah.
He's also now labeled as an offender.
Well, that's only if he's prosecuted. I mean,
but even so, his license has been revoked. Right. No school will ever hire him.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go back to school after that.
I mean, you've messed up his whole life.
You were talking about something earlier. I was hoping you'll tell that story for our why we do this today.
So it's not fully like a why we do this, but it is a why we do this.
It's a why we do this.
It's a why we do this. Okay. So I know we always hear about teachers talking about like, oh, why do you love teaching? I just love the light bulb moment. One of the most cliche sayings in teaching.
It is.
Having said that, I got to have one day, where I had multiple light bulb moments. And that was a very nice feeling for my soul because it really needed it after the last few weeks. And so I was teaching my sixth grade boys a rhythm and it did not go well. And so we tried another way. It also did not go well. Fast forward, we tried four more ways that also failed spectacularly.
Good thing they're not percussion students.
Oh, God, the headaches. So we get to way number seven. I'm like, all right, we're going to try it this way. We're going to find a different way to put it in your body because the first two ways we tried didn't work. So we're going to put it in your body and we're going to move it this way and we're going to try it doing this and we're going to see if that works for you. And it did. And they're
so
like,
you made it like physical.
Yeah. And it was like
physical rhythm. Okay. I love
but like,
it.
It was like the third physical thing we did, but just the first two weren't quite right.
So
but they got it on the third time and they got it consistently. Cause I'm like, well, that was good. You got all three of them. Do it again. Cause straight up do it again. So they did. And I was like, you got it all again. Cool. Go back to the beginning and sing it. And then when you get to this part, do what we just did and get it right. And they did.
I love that.
And I'm like, oh my God, they have it. And they still had it today.
Ah, that reminds me of one of my favorite quotes.
Is it from Austin Powers?
No, it is not.
Oh, good. We don't have to break up this time.
not today. But it goes, amateurs rehearse until they get it right, but professionals rehearse until it can't go wrong.
And then we got to my varsity class, which is not usually one where I have kids who don't understand a rhythm because that's my top class. So I get in there and one boy, and I'm so proud of him. He was brave enough to go, yeah, I don't get this rhythm. This does not make sense. And I'm like, okay. So I drew it out on the board. Let's count it. He's like, yep, nope, I can count it. Doesn't make sense. Great. I'm going to draw it like this. He's like, okay, I kind of conceptually understand that. And then I drew it one more way. I was like, this is the same as this. He's like, oh, okay, nope, got it. I've got it now. Got it. And he did. And he didn't mess it up the rest of the day.
Excellent.
So like, I got to have two light bulb moments.
In the same day?
In the same day. And the best part is what I did with my first period, my sixth grade boys, with the putting it in their body. That sounds really bad.
You just figured that out. I have been holding it back. Is that the words you used?
Technically, it's putting it on their body, which sounds even worse.
No, putting it in your body sounds worse.
Disclaimer for all of you out there who are not musicians. We say a lot of cringy shit.
Like G-string.
Okay, that's like
fingering. And tonguing.
I
have a husband who is in music.
Okay, that just came across so braggy as I sit here in my little divorced state in my apartment.
I'm sorry, it's not what I
You're just like,
it.
But do you realize you went, I have a husband, and you stopped.
Because my brain stopped processing information.
I'm like, yeah, I know. And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, and I don't, so okay. That was great. I enjoyed
Some
that
days,
so much.
You saying I don't have a husband is bracky.
And it's meant to be. Oh, the only person's bullshit I have to put up now is my own. And I can only be mad at one person about that. Oh, that was great. I was saying something and now I don't know what it was.
See, sometimes your brain just stops. Okay.
I know it was something. And then you decide to butt in with, you have a husband. Oh, music people. Cause you know, your husband is a musician, which was the part you left out.
That was the words I was looking for that didn't want to come to my brain.
So we say a lot of cringy stuff. And so like last week my kids were singing a chord, and like when you sing a G chord, the notes are G, B, and D. I didn't mean anything by it. But I was asking them to sing and I needed a little more of the fifth of the chord, and that would have been a little too complicated for them. So I was like, I need more D. And I said that.
Sounds like a personal problem.
I mean, sound box. Anyway, so yeah. And I said it and was just like, yep, those words just came out of my mouth.
That's Did they not react? Good.
I had a few of my older but wiser students look at me. And I just see if you, played the idiot. I'm like, I don't know what you're looking at me for. What are you looking at me for? That means sing louder.
Best strategy.
Which is exactly what I said. I'm like, why are you that? Well, sing louder. And they're just like, you could see the nodding of, okay, that's how we're going to play this, because they know me really well. They know me well enough to go, okay, you know what you said. Yeah. I also said, I mean, literally, this is all like in the same week. I said, does that note have a dot on it? Oh, I can't see it because my D is covering it. Because I had a D written underneath and the top of the D just the Maybe tip of the D covered the little dot. Work. You know, there are days that I really think that is really great advice. I told my boys to mark their G spot. I've told kids to use their middle finger to cover their A.
Thank you for listening to Bad Teacher Tales. If you enjoyed this content, consider supporting us on Patreon or contribute a one-time payment to help offset monthly costs, as this is a self-produced, directed, edited, and funded production. Information and links are located in the show notes. Any support is appreciated. To submit a story for consideration, follow the link in the episode notes to the Google form. All submissions are anonymous to our listeners. For podcast updates or to interact with the host, join the Facebook group, Bad Teacher Tales-Podcast, or follow on Instagram and X at Bad Teacher Tales. Scara is a lifelong learner and educator. Recently becoming a National Board Certified Teacher, Scara serves as the Fine Arts Department Head, Head Theater Director, Dance Team, and Pep Squad Coach for her middle school. At the district level, Scara is a new teacher mentor, has written theater curriculum, and facilitates the annual Tech Design Contest. Sly has been an educator for over a decade. She has taught music ranging from pre-K to high school. Playing the bell set in fourth grade sparked a deep excitement to learn other instruments and join band in the fifth grade. She became proficient at multiple instruments throughout her years in school. Upon realizing band was the reason she showed up for school, Sly found her path, never dreaming she'd end up a choir teacher, but truly enjoying it.
Why did they need to mark their G-spot?
So they can find it later. And then if you follow that through to conclusion, that is really helpful life advice, because their dads don't know where it is either. Just ask their moms.
Sly! You know this is going in the end of the podcast, right? Oh,